Good evening. Thank you once again for joining us for our Wednesday night virtual service. Tonight is our fourth and final message in a series called What Happened When I Got Saved. Now, if you've been watching online, you're familiar with what this series is about. We have been taking a look at several of the things that happens in a person's life at that moment of salvation. There are so many different things that takes place at that instant, at that moment of salvation. It happens to all of us. So this is not a personal testimony about what happened in my own personal life at the moment of salvation. This is a look at biblical principles about what happened when a person gets saved. The first message in our series, of course, was about the fact that when we get saved, we are given a home in heaven. Basically, our reservations are made in heaven, where we go after we pass from this life into the next. We also talked about how at the moment of salvation, we transition from being an enemy of God. The Bible says in our sinful condition, we're actually enemies of God. But we looked at how at that moment of salvation, we are reconciled back to God. And then also our third lesson was about the fact that at the moment of salvation, we are made spiritually alive. We are born into this world, as I said, as sinners, and we're spiritually dead. But at that moment of salvation, the Bible teaches how that we are made spiritually alive. And so tonight we're going to look at our fourth message in this series. The title of tonight's lesson is The Assurance of Adoption. We become an actual child of God at that moment of salvation. So if you would, take your Bibles and turn with me to Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8, we're going to look at verses 12 through 17. Paul's letter to the church in Rome. Romans 17, 12. Therefore, brethren, we are debtors, not to the flesh, to live according to the flesh. For if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God. For you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ. If indeed we suffer with him, then we may also be glorified together. Let's pray. God, thank you for your word. Thank you again for the opportunity to go into your word here tonight for this Wednesday night virtual service. And God, I thank you for each and every person that's watching this service online. I ask your blessings on them and meet their needs, God. Keep them safe and healthy. God, thank you for this time together in your word. Help us to receive it and learn from it and apply it to our lives and draw one step closer to you as a result of this lesson and all of your word. Forgive me my sins. Give me the words to say. In Jesus' name, amen. Jessica Long is a American Paralympic swimmer who has won over 50 world championship medals and has also competed in 5 Paralympic Games, including the Paralympic Games that are currently taking place in Tokyo, Japan. Before the current Paralympics, Long has won 25 medals, including 14 gold medals. Long was born in 1992 in Russia and was immediately placed in a Russian orphanage. She was adopted by American parents at the age of 13 months. At the age of 18 months, she had to have both her legs amputated due to a rare medical condition. She competed for the first time on the international level in 2004, and at that time, she won 3 gold medals. Toyota featured Long in a Super Bowl TV commercial during the 2021 Super Bowl. During this commercial, there is a woman who portrays Long's adoptive mother. And in the commercial, she gets a phone call, and the woman who made the call says this. She said, Mrs. Long, we have found a baby girl for adoption. She is in an orphanage in Siberia. She was born with a rare condition, and her legs will need to be amputated. The lady then goes on to say, her life will not be easy. And the adoptive mother responds by saying, it may not be easy, but it will be amazing. As Christians, the Bible says we have been adopted into the family of God. As sons and daughters of the Lord God of the universe, life is not always easy, but it really is amazing. We're all born into this world as sinners, simply a creation of God, not a child of God. But that also changes at the moment of salvation. Here in Romans chapter 8, Paul talks about the work of the Holy Spirit at the moment of salvation in a person's life. The Holy Spirit comes in to a person's life at that moment of salvation. Each and every one of us is indwelt by the person of the Holy Spirit when we receive Jesus as our personal Savior. The Holy Spirit is not something we have to work for. The Holy Spirit is not something we have to strive for to get the Holy Spirit to come into our life. The Holy Spirit is not something that we receive later in our Christian walk. It happens at the moment we trusted Jesus as Savior. We receive the Holy Spirit. And Paul explains here in chapter 8 several of the things that is accomplished by the Holy Spirit at that moment of salvation. And one of those things that takes place is this act or process of adoption. So, the title for tonight's lesson, The Assurance of Adoption. Notice three things here in this passage. First of all, we see here that as believers, as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit, we have a new freedom. We have a new freedom. Look at verse 12, 13, and 14. Therefore, brethren, he's just talked about how the Holy Spirit delivers us from the power of the flesh in these preceding verses. Then verse 12, therefore, brethren, we are debtors not to the flesh to live according to the flesh, but if you live according to the flesh, you will die. But if by the Spirit you put to death the deeds of the body, you will live. For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, these are sons of God, or children of God. As Christians, we all have three enemies: Satan, the world, and the flesh. The flesh is basically a word or term that refers to our sin nature. It represents our sinful desires. Galatians 5 says that the flesh, our sin nature, is in conflict with the Spirit of God. It says the flesh and the Holy Spirit wrestle. There is conflict between the two. Understand again, Before salvation, the Holy Spirit is not in us. We are led, we are influenced by the flesh. We are in bondage to the flesh, that sinful nature. Verse 12 here refers to the fact that we are debtors to the flesh. Again, in debt to the flesh, bonded in bondage by the flesh. Verse 8, Paul says that those in the flesh, in other words, those who have not yet received the Holy Spirit, the person of the Holy Spirit into their life, in other words, still lost, those that are in the flesh, he says here, cannot please God. And then if you look back up in the preceding verses, up in verse 10, Paul says this, and if Christ is in you, the body is dead because of sin, but the spirit is life because of righteousness. In our sinful condition, in the flesh, without the Holy Spirit, if you will, we are dead. You remember we talked about that in a preceding sermon message, that we are dead in the flesh. But when the Holy Spirit comes into our life, when we are dwelt by the Holy Spirit, there is life. Paul says there is life and in righteousness. You see, the Holy Spirit comes into our life. The Holy Spirit indwells us at the moment of salvation. He delivers us. The Holy Spirit, at that moment of salvation, sets us free from the power of the flesh. You and I have been delivered, set free from this power of the flesh, from the influence of the flesh. We are now led and controlled by the Holy Spirit, no longer in bondage to the flesh. You know, there are many companies that use the marketing gimmick to help sell their products. You know, they label something new and improved. New and improved. Every year there are new and improved products that come out and that are produced. I saw online some of the latest new and improved products that came out in 2021. One of the new and improved products is a diamond-shaped ice cube tray. Just when you thought that ice cube trays were a thing of the past, just when you thought that the only place you would find an ice cube tray would be in an antique store, they're now come out with the new and improved ice cube tray. It will make your ice cubes in the shape of and make them to look like diamonds. Another new and improved product that was released this year is the portable blender. And you thought blenders were confined to the kitchen. Now they have a new and improved blender that you can put in your pocketbook or your backpack and take that blender with you wherever you go. The flesh cannot be made new and improved. The flesh is our sin nature. It can't be improved and it can't be made new. But when the Holy Spirit comes in us, we are then freed from the power and the influence of the flesh. No longer in bondage to the flesh. We have within us the Holy Spirit that now leads us and controls us and influences us in our life as a believer. So, at the moment of salvation, the Holy Spirit comes into our life, comes in, indwells us, and we have a new freedom. Number two, notice also, at that moment of salvation, we have a new Father. We have a new Father. Look at verse 15. Paul says here, for you did not receive the spirit of bondage again to fear, but you received the spirit of adoption by whom we cry out, Abba, Father. The word adoption is a great illustration of what takes place in our life when we get saved. It's a great word picture. In the ancient world, the days of the Roman Empire, the family and the process of adoption was governed by Roman law. And adoption was considered a very serious matter. When a child was adopted, there were three legal steps that were taken, again, according or due to Roman law. First of all, according to Roman law, in Bible times, when a child was adopted, the adoption was permanent. The child could not later be disinherited. Once a child was adopted, it was forever a part of that new family. Number two, the adopted child immediately had all the rights of the new adopted family. If the father of the adoptive family had power, prestige, material assets, whatever belonged to that father, it now belonged and immediately belonged to that adoptive child. Number three, the adopted child lost all connection to the old family. Any financial debt or any legal obligations held by that old family were canceled in that child's life. They no longer had any connection or any ties to the old family. As Christians, we become a child of God at the moment of salvation, and we will never be disinherited. Our adoption is eternal, and we gain all the rights and privileges of being a child of God. And our sin debt is canceled. Our connection to the old family is over. I read something the other day, just a short quote, kind of a tongue-in-cheek quote. It said this: it has been said that getting up close and personal with sharks does not make you a wildlife enthusiast, it makes you dinner. Paul says here, we're not adopted into a spirit of fear. We don't have to be afraid of our new heavenly Father. But we can get up close and personal to our adoptive Father, our Heavenly Father. We can have a close, personal, intimate relationship with the Lord God of the universe. He is the one who has adopted us into His family. All connection and all ties with our family, our prior family, have been canceled. And Paul says here, we now cry out, Abba, Father. That word or that name or that term Abba is from an Aramaic word that means, in our English language today, it means daddy. In other words, Paul is saying here that father, the word father, can be a more formal term. But you and I, as believers, we can have that close, intimate, less formal relationship with God, our Heavenly Father. And we can cry out to Him. We can go to Him as a child goes to their earthly father. We can have a close, informal relationship with the Lord God of the universe and cry out to Him as our daddy. So we see here in our assurance of adoption, we have a new freedom. Number two, we have a new father. And number three, last but not least, we have a new family. Look at verse 16 and 17. He says here, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are children of God. And if children, then heirs. Heirs of God and joint heirs with Christ, if indeed we suffer with him, that we may also be glorified together. There's a lot of misunderstanding in our world today about a person's status before salvation. Every person is born into this world as a sinner. And before salvation, we are simply and only a creation of God. But at that moment of salvation, as a result of the work of the Holy Spirit, we become a child of God. And if each and every Christian is a child of God, then that means that all of us are members of God's family. We are all brothers and sisters in Christ. That is an important principle within the church, that we are a family. We are friends because we're all members of the same church, but we're members of a family because of the work of the Holy Spirit. We are brothers and sisters in Christ, and we should strive for that unity, that family togetherness within the body of Christ. And he says here that we have been made heirs of God, joint heirs with Christ. I'm sure all of you remember the term, no child left behind. Of course, we know that was the name of an education law or bill that was passed by Congress during the Bush administration. In God's family, no child is left behind. Every adopted child, every child of God will receive their full inheritance. We will receive eternal salvation. We will all live for eternity in the presence and the glory of God. And one day we will all receive that which Jesus receives in the new heaven and the new earth. Understand, there will not be a will to read by a probate court judge and disseminate the assets. All of us are joint heirs with Christ as brothers and sisters in Christ, and as members of God's family, as God's children, we all receive an equal inheritance. For the Christian life in the world today, it's not always easy, but it is an amazing journey, and it's all because we have the assurance of adoption into the family of God. We go from being lost, spiritually dead, on our way to hell, to being a child of God with a home in heaven and spiritually alive. That's what happened when we got saved. Let's pray. God, we thank you for your word. Thank you that in your word you teach us all the various things that happens in our life when we trust Jesus as Savior. God, may we be mindful of these blessings and benefits that comes from knowing you in a personal way. Thank you that we can call on you as our Heavenly Father. Thank you that we can actually have an up-close and personal relationship with you. We can cry out to you at any time as our Heavenly Father. Again, bless everyone watching online, Lord, and help us to live and act as brothers and sisters in Christ and have a and love each other in Christian love. God, just empower us to, as believers, to live our life with confidence because of all that you have done in our life. All that you have done in our life at that moment of salvation. We were transformed. We were changed, given a home in heaven, made spiritually alive, reconciled back to you, and adopted into your family. We praise you and thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.